It starts with one voice.
My name is Dr. Gawara Isaac. I'm a pediatrician working with children. Peace begins with health, because with that, you will have improved access to health services. You will have improvement in infrastructure. You will see improvement in wages that are paid for health workforce. You will see quality health workforce for the citizen of this nation. You will see the infant, child, and maternal mortality going down. You see the nation is free from malnutrition. You see the nation free from malaria, polio, cholera, and other preventable diseases. You will see a healthy nation, mentally healthy, and physical well-being generally.
Stand for peace. Stand with your community. ANMI stands with you for peace for South Sudan.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar. Today we will be discussing the topic that is related to food security and production of food, and also resilience. And that is in line or as in conjunction with an expected summit that was going to be held from the 27th to 29th July in Addis Ababa, which is the second United Nations Food Systems Summit. And as I said, will be taking place in Addis Ababa and co-hosted by the government of Ethiopia and Italy. And this food summit has started 4 years ago. This is the fourth year. And so it started in 2021. And it provides a platform for reflection on progress and strengthening collaboration and unlock finance and investments to accelerate food systems transformation. And it is interesting because Ethiopia also is one of the countries that has worked hard to avoid food shortages. We remember in the 80s they had a famine, very, very, very big global famine. So they have come a long way, and up to now they are championing the issue and the issue of food systems. So South Sudan also is a neighbor to Ethiopia and a very strong partner in a lot of issues. Ethiopia has been facilitating the peace process in the country, supporting a lot of processes, and strong potential neighbor in every sense. So South Sudan is among the countries that will be participating in this summit, and we want today to explore how South Sudan is participating and what are the challenges, progress that are laying ahead. With me in the studio to discuss this is Honorable Dr. John Ogoto Kanisio, Undersecretary for Food Security. Welcome, Dr. John Kanisio, to Radio Miraya once again.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and I have with me in the studio Abuni Joseph, Program Policy Officer for Food System and Resilience in the World Food Program. Welcome, Abuni.
Thank you, Gabriel. Much appreciated.
Yes, as I said at the beginning, this conference might mean a lot of things to many people. And so the question is, the South Sudan participating in this UN Food Systems Summit, why is it important and what does it hope to achieve, Dr. Yon?
First, let me get the listener to understand what food systems is. Food systems means, you know, all the activities involved in the production, processing, distribution, utilization, and disposal of waste resulting from food, as well as the actors who are involved right from the beginning with the suppliers of inputs, the farmers themselves who are doing the production. Then you have the traders, whether wholesale, and you have the processors, up to those responsible for waste disposal. So this together is what is called food systems.
Consumers also included.
The consumers, of course. Yeah. You know, when we talked about utilization, the consumers, yeah, consumers are there. Mm-hmm. So what is happening, following the UN Food Systems, in fact, prior to the UN Food Systems Summit that took place in 2021 in New York, and South Sudan was represented, every country conducted an assessment to check, you know, the food systems. South Sudan at that time had an assessment which confirmed that South Sudan's food system was and is still in crisis, characterized by severe food insecurity, malnutrition, and poverty that strain our environment. Consequently, the nation depends heavily on imports and humanitarian aid to meet basic needs. However, South Sudan has the agricultural potential to not only feed its own people, but also to prosper. To unlock this potential comes now what we need. We seek technical and financial partnership to develop our agribusiness sector, integrate smallholder farmers into the market value chain, promote climate-smart agriculture, and revitalize our national agricultural programs. So this what brings us, you know, to the point. Why are we participating? We are participating to forge strategic partnerships, to access finance, be it public, private, or philanthropic, to also learn from the experiences of other countries who transform their food systems to just address the gaps like what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Bonnie Joseph. What would you add from the perspective of World Food Programme, especially one of the greatest partners that are biggest partners, I mean, trying to help over years? Welcome.
Thank you so much. At UN level, especially World Food Programme, we have been collaborating a lot with the government, especially the National Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, to say that the actors in the food systems are well supported. And Doctor clearly mentioned about the different processes involved and the actor in defining food systems. So as UN body, we look at supporting the farmers at production level, looking at the market. For example, for WAP, we have been supporting over 43,000 smallholder farmers, and these are statistics that fits towards the food system in terms of increasing productivity and production. But away from the production, also as a UN body, we have been working closely with the government to see that the private sectors are engaged so that the farmers are able to assess inputs and tools so that they can be able to increase production and productivity so that it meets market demand.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. When this might be for both of you, what does resilient food system look like in South Sudan? And given the vision that you have, even this year, there is what is called Year of Agriculture, and people are being really pushed to cultivate. But this system you have spoken about, Undersecretary, what does it look like?
You are talking about the food systems of South Sudan. As I mentioned, it is in crisis simply because of the outcomes. Usually, you measure the outcomes. Mm-hmm. The outcomes we see today, which are the challenges our food systems is facing, are multiple. Mm-hmm. You have ongoing insecurity. Okay. Or maybe let me leave the challenges that are... But mm-hmm. our food systems is unable to feed, to allow our mm-hmm. population to feed properly. You have malnutrition. You have the food being imported.
Yeah.
Then even the food that is produced within the country, there is disconnect between the smallholder producers and also those who are consuming, especially in urban areas, you find we are not consuming healthy food. The processing, the storage are all, you know, facing challenges. You have also the fact that climate change, and people have been experiencing it like from the beginning of this rainy season, you have variability, you have erratic rains that lead to failure of the cropping season. So all these, you know, are signs of a fractured food system.
Yeah.
So the food system is supposed to be, you know, smooth from production to consumption.
Yeah, and there are many stakeholders in between.
Yes.
You cannot say it is only the Ministry of Agriculture that is there. You might say that there is a problem of irrigation, right?
Yes.
When the rain season is erratic, that means it's a failure, right?
Yeah.
And when there is drought, it's about environment, then there is a challenge and all that kind of things. It seems like for many years, is it like more than 10 years or so, South Sudan has never had a good production of crops, for example, to cover the local consumption, like more than 10 years or so?
With the exception of maybe a couple of years or three, yes, this has been the case. And this is because of the very reasons, you know, that, you know, I was trying to allude to, like ongoing, you know, conflicts causing insecurity, limited access to quality seeds. Because remember, farming takes place, you know, in the rural areas.
Yeah.
And when there is no safety, farmers cannot go to farm. If communities are displaced, they will not be able to farm because they can farm where they live. Mm. But if they are uprooted from there due to conflict, they cannot farm. Also, the quality of seeds that we are using, you know, we cannot rely on seeds that you put more effort, but by the end of the day, you reap little. Then you have the inadequate infrastructure. You already mentioned like the irrigation infrastructure, which is supposed to supplement any water shortage due to erratic rains. And also the worsening floods and droughts due to climate change. All this together lead to low production and productivity.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, the country cannot, you know, feed itself.
Yeah.
So this has been happening over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Can you say, can we say that even with all these things, even an increase in the budget can do little in that process to address them, because the issues are so many? It is not only about the budget.
That's exactly why it is called food system.
Yeah.
Food system is looking at, you know, how do you address the issue of food security holistically? Looking at it from the policy point of view, we need to actually reform a lot of our policies, put in place what will create an, you know, a conducive environment for production, whether it is policies related to agriculture, policies related to marketing and trade, policies related to standards, policies related to nutrition, policies related to even financing. We have banks here who have money, commercial banks and the like. We need policies that can encourage these banks to lend to farmers, to lend to food traders too. We need policies that will prioritize, you know, putting in place infrastructure required for agricultural production like irrigation. So that is on the government side. Go to now the processing side. We need actually to build capacity of farmers. We need to build capacity of traders. We need to build capacity of other players along the value chain. We need to do things actually to, if you go to the consumption, you need to raise awareness about what healthy diet is. Because where, you know, you'll be surprised where you have surplus production like in Western Equatoria, but malnutrition exists. That means people are not making best use of the food. Mm. Then you have the early warning. You know, we need to put in place an early warning system, so which will alert farmers in advance about the status of rain, how it is going to look like, so that they prepare themselves.
Yeah.
We also need the extension services. So all this together will, determine whether the food systems is going to be successful and will meet our needs.
Thank you very much for this elaborate explanation. Let me go to Abuni Joseph from WFP. WFP have been doing climate smart innovations in the country. There are pilot projects and all that. Where are we at the moment?
As WFP, we have been doing a lot around climate smart activities. And one of the key activities that we have been focusing on is to look at how can we take advantage of the flood. I'm glad that you asked a question about how resilience look like in food system.
Yeah.
And I want to pick from there. For us, resilient food system refers to ability of the populations who are able to respond to shock positively. And when we talk about shocks, we talk about the impact, like, for example, flooding, which arises out of the climate, and then also issues related to conflict, economic, and how can the population be able to respond to these shocks, and they are able to have access to food. And Sadar, access to food is fundamental human right, which everybody is entitled to. It's not anything, it's just human right. Mm. So for that, despite the impact of the climate, we have been looking at how can we turn, you know, the impact of the flood. And one of the innovation that we have brought in is to look at promoting rice production in some of the flooded areas to increase productivity, because we have ample flooding water around. So how can we utilize that water? So one of the things is to look at rice production, the paddy rice, where farmers are able to, you know, plant and harvest and take advantage of the available water. But also in other dry areas, the areas of solar dryer irrigation system that you talk about is very critical. Not every part of South Sudan is flooding. Others are dry, especially the eastern part of South Sudan. Mm. So how can we take advantage? So the aspect of having shallow wells, infrastructure to provide water to irrigation for crop production is something that we are looking at as WFP.
This might be both of you, because you are both South Sudanese. And are South Sudanese receptive in their innovation and adopting creative ways of farming and other ways of processing foods? Honorable John Canisio.
Definitely. Hmm. You know, innovation comes as an outcome of necessity.
The mother of invention.
The mother of invention, yes. Yeah. So our farmers, our rural people have been actually innovating, looking at what they need, or maybe pressured by shocks or stressors, they come up with new ideas. Even what scientists do, they go look at what people do to face up to challenges. They go back to their labs and develop them further. Come up, of course, science is power. They look at it from different angles and then come back with, you know, what we call innovation and technology. So our people, the answer, in short, our people are innovative, but we need to do this faster and better through science, science-based innovation.
Yeah. What's the response from WFP, Abuni?
Thank you, Sadar. On WFP perspective, innovation is something that we have been really looking into, and we're encouraging our people that we support to buy in the idea. Of course, as has been mentioned earlier on, there are challenges. If a new idea is brought to me, it takes time for me to adapt. Mm. That could be a process. So it's not really one month or 1 year off thing, but that does not derail the process of getting back and trying to bring in what is important to. So I want to share just a typical example where we see innovation is working. For example, SWP, we are doing what is called homegrown school feeding program. Initially, we have been buying food from outside to support schools, but as a way of innovation, how can we support our farmers to be able to produce, and then they supply this food to schools as part of homegrown school feeding program. So these are kind of innovation that we are trying to bring in, and the farmers are receptive to it because at the end, it benefits the community at large and our children in school. So the uptake of innovation is there, though limited, but we keep on addressing it.
And maybe I can add,
the
Minister of Agriculture has got a research directorate that is working around the issue of seeds, developing varieties that yield more, that resist diseases and pests, and, to just address the challenges people are facing. It is out there, those farmers who tried them, who adapted these varieties, have gained more than those who didn't. May just want to stick to, what they inherited.
They have inherited.
But, now more and more as our farmers are becoming, intrapreneurial, business-oriented, market-oriented, they are now looking at those seeds which can yield more so that they can feed themselves and also take to the market.
This reminds me of a comment from one of the listeners in this program, I think 2 years back when we were discussing failure and all this. One of them called and said, "Look, some of the people are bringing, foreign or exotic kind of seeds from abroad, and they try them without going through the official channels, and they fail because it's a different environment." So how do you look at this thing? Are South Sudanese allowed to bring in any seeds and just plant them anyhow without going through the right channels and all this?
The answer, in short, no. That's why I said we need policies, we need regulations.
So it is happening that just people
it is
go,
happening.
Bring
it is
in
happening.
Any kind of variety of seeds?
They hide them or bring them in bags. What is supposed to happen? We are, at the border. All these are supposed to be checked by the plant quarantine. We have the plant quarantine meant to prevent the country against introduction of plant materials, which can be harmful. Harmful in what way? It may be carrying diseases and pests. Sometimes it could be carrying genetic materials that when planted and mixed with our local ones, it can, cause damage. So we have policies in place to control, plant protection, and not only us, but all over.
Yeah, we have seen that in Nairobi, in Ethiopia. They ask you, do you have any plant seeds and all this?
Our weakness is actually the enforcement. Our weakness is the capacity building. Our weakness is the awareness raising so that, those bringing them in don't do it as, a responsibility of the citizenry. And also on the ground, the plant, the agricultural inspectorates are supposed to make sure that things are done according to the regulations. We are a bit far there, to be honest.
What's your comment, WFP? Because you might also be tempted to bring in something which is not really compatible with what is needed on the ground.
Yeah, thank you, Gabriel. The challenge that we highlight about seeds is real and is happening even on the ground. But as a development agency and WP, we have been also doing our effort to ensure that we don't throw away our old stick. In other way, the available seeds that the farmers have, is there a way that we can be able to improve the vigor? In other words, can we, if it's producing one or two crops, for example, for maize, can we improve that to produce three? Mm. So that is what is called innovation into what we have.
Yeah.
So that is something that as WAP we are trying to look at also as an option to support the farmers to improve their productivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now back to the summit that is going to take place in the next few days. What is the expectation for South Sudan here from the perspective of World Food Program, Abude?
Thank you so much. We have huge expectation as South Sudan because we don't operate in silo. We are part of the global community. And one of the expectations is that we sell ourselves in the forum. We sell ourselves as South Sudan, and we highlight also our strength. We also don't shy away from our weaknesses, and then we highlight our national efforts, what we are doing to address some of the challenges that we have. And we also look towards attracting investments in South Sudan, especially in the food system sector. In other words, how can we make South Sudan attractive to external people to invest in South Sudan in the food system sector? So that is something that we are expecting and looking forward to. But more so also strengthen partnerships for food security and resilience. It's very, very important to create that network in the forum. As South Sudan, we participate in this forum. We need to have that partnership, we create network, and we attract investment in South Sudan mm-hmm. to support food system.
Yeah. Dr. Canisius, it is interesting, if you ask any South Sudanese, they are either farmers or they are either cattle herders. So mm-hmm. everyone, it's like 70% or so of the population say farming, farming, farming. Even mm-hmm. here in Juba, you ask people who come from very different areas, you ask them, what skills do you have? Say farming. And it's a paradox that we are not even producing what is enough for us when we are all farmers by hobbies or by tradition and by skills. So what does this summit mean for you as South Sudanese and government officials?
Okay. Thank you, Gabriel. What you're saying is true. And the fact is that more than 80% of South Sudanese farmers. Maybe we don't see it much in urban areas, yeah. But in the rural areas, when you step out of Juba, you see that.
Yeah.
And the truth is that most of the food South Sudanese eat is not what comes from abroad. People may not know that.
Yeah.
The food South Sudanese need in terms of, grain, it's about 1,200,000 metric tons. This what will, suffice every mouth in this country.
Yearly?
Yes, annually. Mm. South Sudanese and the small farmers produce up to 600. In one of the best years, they reached 900,000, which means short of meeting, the self-sufficiency limit by maybe 300,000 metric tons. Mm. So this has been happening every year, which means we produce more than half the food we require, even 60%. Why are we, hungry? It's because you may find the distribution of food from surplus areas. One area is producing a surplus, another one is suffering. Usually through marketing and trade, you can move food from areas of production or areas of surplus to areas of deficit. Because of the poor infrastructure, whether road infrastructure, whether market infrastructure, the surplus areas ended up wasting that food. They rot, yeah. While the deficit areas suffer and you have to import. Yes, we are importing because we have to seal the gap.
Mm-hmm.
That is to, you know, an important point. Mm-hmm. We are producing most of the food that we need, but it's not sufficient.
Yeah.
If we address the issues, causing the low productivity, we can seal the gap.
Yeah.
As about the importance of the, you know, of our participation in the UN Food System Summit, I agree with what my colleague mentioned. As a government, it is an opportunity. You know, the summit provides a platform for South Sudan to highlight its own efforts and national pathways to addressing food insecurity, demonstrating a commitment to transforming its food systems to potential donors and partners. Then, we are suffering from lack of financing to agriculture. But there are opportunities out there. Development financing, okay? You have climate financing. And here I must mention South Sudan with the, you know, it has a plant and forest cover that is not less than 37%. It is sinking carbon, you know, this carbon emission leading to climate change. So this is supposed to be costed and it's supposed to give us money.
Because the global system.
Yeah, the global system. Because you have industrial countries who are emitting carbon, and there is no way for them to sink. They can come to us who are sinking this carbon for them, preventing climate change, and pay us. So in such forum, we can meet with such, opportunities to get climate, you know.
Financing.
We can meet with private investors. We showcase the potential that the country has, so that they invest and we bridge the gaps. Another reason is that we are going there to forge partnerships. Even in a recent meeting in Brazil, we forged partnership with the government of Brazil, which has huge experience in agriculture production, and they manage in 50 years or 50 years back, they were just like us, but now they are surplus producer and one of the major exporters all over the world. And we in Rome also forged partnerships with, FAO and with other, you know, organizations. So that is a forum, because it's a global forum, you're going to meet so many, you know, entities. We also see that as an opportunity to learn from global best practices. As I said earlier, you have countries that manage to transform their food systems. They addressed all the issues we are suffering from. How do you address the issues of production, impeding production, causing our production to be low? Issues to do with processing, with warehousing, all the way, even consumption. So we are going to learn from this. Last but not least... We, as one of the fragile states, we fall within the group of the fragile and conflict-affected states. Usually when people or in a global forum talk about financing, talk about development, it is in relation to stable countries. So for us, we are at a disadvantage. So we are coming together to go and advocate for financing for fragile and conflict-affected countries.
Thank you very much, Dr. John Canisio. Let me go to the listeners. If you are that interested in this discussion, you can call us on 09120677879, 09120677929. The number again is 09120677879 and 09120677929, and I will be picking your calls. You can also text us on 09121771141. Hello, Radio Miraya.
مساء الخير قولي الجدار
مساء النور بمعنى
معكم مريال من وو
مريال مرحب بك
شكرا للبرنامج وانا بشكر الضيوف المعكم في الفيديو طبعا نين زي ما عيدهم قاعدة قلن بينو جنوبين اكتر ناس مزارين وروع انو اجادة مربوط سوا لكن المشلة حكومة بتاعنا دائما حكومة جديدة اي حاجة دائر جديد انا بسأل بذور wun bugul gal buzur ban marad bitamara le jow lakin buzur dana beji mite lanu irina amala besal fidola ela jar butana zar ma pasal nam dar min asagena ay jubda az anin anina muzarin qabl al majal da sudan gani sagdam buzur da sudan uga lolgin muktub sudan mana u bamki choy ma jowta junub lakin jowta junub aslan u furuk ma jowta sudan ma sudan u junub sudan indum furuk lakin ma bi higa ni majburin tazara da yan idig inta challa ikuna gala ma ze sag lakin az anu alal ma inda na giya basaina haka ni ma zarin to wani gani sagdam ai buzur bas lanu ma bi higa buzur tana wen da ma maru an basalal dai ba ha miten bukun da na buzur lanu mu furdai wazara ichi lista buta yamshi fi mal ma inda zirgal ya jidi jidi da ai wazara yamul fasiyun la jar buta
haka
an basalal dai miten bukun da na buzur da ai ai da independent
شكراً شكراً. سؤالك وصل سؤالك وصل وناخذ متصل ثاني. الو الو
Good evening, Governor Joseph Chada.
Good evening, who's calling?
Jacob Dio from Lagos State.
Jacob, welcome.
Thank you so much. You know, as I've been working with a company that has been implementing agriculture. And what I learned from our colleagues in the studio is not different from what we were implementing. You know, agroecology plays an important role on the farmers in the country. One of the areas I raised in 2019 was the issue of importing the seeds. You know, in our country, we have different rainfall in different regions. And when you get a long-term variety seeds, and the area you are implementing them is where the rainfall is short, maybe 3 months or 4 months. This has contributed negatively to the impact that the companies or the farmers want to do. In my analysis, we really need to have our seed banks in the country. People need to be aware. They really need to carry out campaigns in different areas in South Sudan so that the farmers have their own seed banks, whereby at the end of the year, even other states that do not have seed, they can come and buy from them. But now the farmers do not have support. Sometimes when they come to mechanization, they do not have equipment for cultivation, say tractors. The tractors go to the people that are well off at the politically or the government level. But the real farmers that are in need of the equipment do not get this. In this upcoming session in Addis Ababa, I would really want the people to emphasize on empowering the local farmers so that the seeds are produced within, instead of importing the seeds from outside.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jacob from Rombek. Hello? Hello,
Nishanur. Joseph Chidar.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, Mr. Akhira. How are you?
Mr. Noor Imana.
James Ndiam in Thomas South County.
Marhaba, James.
Tahia. 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 البرنامج كويس جدا طبعا الزراعة ده حاجة مهمة جدا يعني زمن فترة كان طويل زمن الناس كان لسه في عارف كان ناس بيجيسوا كلام الزراعة لكن هذا بس ناس كنت بقال إلي جعل اللي بيجيو من برا جيو من وين جيو من وين دي هاو تبيشوه يا هو أجاد بيجا كله قالي لكن كان ناس ودو قلوب كله في كلام زراعة إتا تعمل بسير كده شاء الله بس بسير شوية كده بجيب لك كلا في دان وايت بقدي رسالي إتا ميال ما دي ما بكون زياجة في السوق ana der nasal sual akoi utaban hajada la nina ribnao ya wala mishkila kaman la kirti kani zera kanfi lakin kan ita bukurju fala lakin kanfi security kan kweza bukurju lakin asede bukuru security simahala kanin ma kweza nama bagde rikurju zato kaman la matara mabu nazil si zaman asa kalami kalama gasa ito njine maki aja akolo lisa bachete chartamane wale bonjo wale chuno achana chuno adama lala tegeral jow ya obiga mishila o dor chuno achana itu ka zolal masul mikin ita bagito bagder fata masuro itu tamji mahala fi wala yata ni mahala lkwez kire achana bizra bagder gumbam itu bagder achana fata masuro achana nas bandar wa people allow disability human bagder amsi shakal fogu
okay tamam shukran mbia min tonj warap hello hello yes welcome
تفضل
تمام من معنا صوتك قاعد يقطع، منو معنا؟
مبيركوي
من ليكس، مرحبا بك مبيركوي. We lost you, sorry for that. Hello. Hello. Yes, welcome. Hello. We've lost the caller there. Sorry for that. Hello.
Sorry for that. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, John Magmot.
Yeah, John. Magui, yeah, welcome. Welcome, John.
Yeah, Tahiti, the studio is coming in. Yeah, I think the first thing is not a mom of the Jinze Magala Kono of the chair. Yeah, and then my canal, my dad, that's all my and I'm not in the Nathan Mahajin. And much of the visual, can you have to me with a man and I'm as well? So my map is the child for boxing you, Jim Magadin.
No,
I think I'll go with Alim Kajirado Mahim as an annual Zira and Hajab member and my and I money to me that all. That's me and Nakul Nadim Nazra.
نعم
زي ما بقول بناكل من المناظرة في السودان، السودان قديم بقول بناكل من المناظرة.
نعم
يا دي جلالة. شكرا.
thank you for that. Another caller here. Hello hello yes welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Yeah, good evening.
Yes, welcome.
You are connected with my caller. Calling from what state?
Come again.
Makwani Mraj, calling from Warab State.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Makwai. We have lost Makwai. And let me go back to my guests in the studio, and you will share the time and the questions. We are left with like 7 minutes. John Canisio, it seems some of the people are really, they really understand what is happening and they are having their demands and something like that. Yes, what would you say in response, just generally?
There are people, actually, most of those who ask questions, they ask them in Arabic. So let me change a little bit.
Yes, I won't care.
أول حاجة أنا بشكر كل الناس اللي هم سألوا أسئلة بتام، ده أسئلة كويس جدا. لكن برضو أنا داري أقول إنه في برنامج قصير زي ده صعب إنه واحد يجاوب كل حاجة. الحاجة اللي أنا داري أقول إنه يعني في واحد سأل عن موضوع بتاع البذور، وإحنا لازم يعني نكون عندنا بذور بتاعنا عشان ما نجيب بذور من برا اللي ما بينفع مع بيئة بتاعنا. ده كلام صح، وده الشغل الوزارة الزراعة شغال فيه. يعني إحنا عندنا في كذا بروجيكس اللي هو فاندت من الوال بانك، فاندت من أفريكا ديفلوبمنت بانك، فاندت من إيفات. البروجيكت ده قاعدين ننفذوا لنا اللي هو منظمات فاو زي فاو، وفي برضو دونيشنز بيجي اللي هو World Food Program برضو. فواحد من الأهداف بتاعه إنه إنتاج بذور المناسب لبيئة بتاعنا، وبذور قاعدين ينتجوا. يعني أنا أديك اللي هو مثال، عندنا اللي هو ريسيرش سنتر لإنتاج بذور في عندنا في ماغوي كاونتي اللي هو في بالوتاكا قاعدين ينتجوا بذور. حتى هنا اللي هو في بتعاون مع جامعة جوبا في بذور قاعدين اللي هو ننتجوا، لكن بس كمية بتاعه ما كفاية عشان يمشي اللي هو لكل محل. احنا برضو عندنا يعني في الخطة بتاعنا يكون في مركز لإنتاج البذور في كل الولايات عشان ينتج حاجة مناسب لكل ولاية، لكن ده طبعا دير تمويل، واحنا عارفين اللي هو ظروفنا الاقتصادية ما قادرين اللي هو إيه نشغل حاجات ده، لكن إحنا شغالين. الحاجة الثانية بالنسبة لموضوع بتاع المطر وإنسيكيريتي، ده حقيقة. فبرضو في المشاريع اللي إحنا فيه بنحاول اللي هو نبني يعني ندرب المزارعين اللي هو في أماكن فيه المشاريع ده إنه كيف يتعامل مع نقص في المطر. أول حاجة بنساعده بنظام اللي هو بتاع الإنذار المبكر، نوري انه اللي هو الحاله بتاع المطر ماشي يكون كده وكده عشان يقدر يستعد بالطريقه المناسب. وبعدين برضو يعني يتعامل مع لما يكون في فلاد، يعني مثلا المحلات اللي كان فيه فلاد قبل كده لثلاث اربع سنه، ناس بيجي يزرعوا رز قبل كده رز كان ما في. يعني بدل ما انت تجري من مويه كويس، مويه ده ممكن تزرع فيه رز، ممكن تزرع اللي هو يام. فحس ده القاعد يحصل. وكويس انه ناس اللي هو ياكلوا حاجه اللي انت زرعته، لان انت متاكد جاي من برا ده، انت ما متاكد شكله كيف. هل هو حقيقه ولا كده؟ اما بالنسبه للمتحدث اللي هو the one who spoke about the seed banks and that farmers need to be supported with the production tools and inputs, this is exactly what we are doing. It may not be enough for the country, but we have projects that have been, you know, working and still there, which have been providing tools, seeds to the farmers.
Thank you very much, John Canisio, Dr. John Canisio, and the Secretary of the Food Security. Abuni, if you want to say a quick short message in 1 minute or so from as you are here representing World Food Program.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. To comment briefly on what WFP is doing, especially in some of these areas that have been raised, and to back up Dr. Canisio's comment. One, we have been really working closely with farmers to establish seed banks. Only that the demands are very much and the resources are limited given the available funding challenges. But we have been supporting through the EU funding, establishing seed banks in Western Baragazal, in Northern Baragazal. And these seed banks are really helping the farmers. It has become even a transaction center where people even come and buy local seeds and they plant. And it has been working so well. So I think I support also the idea of really working a lot with the local communities to empower them to have storage facilities through seed bank. Just to also mention, Gabriel, private sector linkage is very, very important. Somebody talk about seed companies. We really need to work closely together with some of these local companies that we have in the country, empower them so that they can be able to work with our farmers to train them on how to produce quality seeds. And then from there, we can be able to utilize our seed banks properly. If we don't train our farmers on the proper seed production, because seed production is different from grain, so we need to differentiate this. So working with private sectors to train our farmers to produce more and then we support them with seed bank, I think we can be able to sort out the issue of production through improving the seed system. Lastly on this, I just want to also appreciate somebody brought on the point of people with disability. It's very, very important. These are inclusion activities. In many a times, we say somebody and then we say, this one cannot farm. So we need to be inclusive in our programming as government, as development partners, to see that people who are living with disabilities are part and parcel for this process of production.
It's really great having you, and I'm sure that we will need you back here again when the conference is made. And if you strike any partnership, let us know, so that those who are outside there, they might have potential partners on the ground and benefit from some of the projects. Thank you very much. We appreciate your coming, Honorable Dr. John Canisio, Undersecretary for Food Security. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming also, Abuni Joseph, Program Policy Officer, Food Systems and Resilience at the World Food Program. And if you doubt that we don't have experts, these are our experts. They are here and they know it. And that means we have hope. We cannot say we don't have the know-how, but still we need to push on and implement the knowledge that we have. Thank you very much and all the best for your summit. And that is all from me, Gabriel Shadar, on Nationwide Program on Radio Mariah. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mariah.